Rob, don't understand how you win with this deck.
You're listening to the Heat Factory Podcast with Owen Robb and Professor Dr. Rob Stevens, PhD.
So, Robert, we're here recording another episode of the podcast.
Okay.
And I invited you to a story time episode.
Yeah, and we are in person, we should say. We've been...
Rob's home.
Yeah, I'm home for a bit, so...
So I thought it would be a good time for... It's late. It's time for a story.
All right.
So, Robert, what do you know about the story of Mu World Order?
I don't know a single thing.
Oh, great. This is perfect.
I've never heard of Mu World Order.
Perfect. I don't know anything about perfect, that. Perfect. Okay, so it's a story from 2016.
Okay.
Written by Jonathan Perinata. He's an old school player.
Okay.
He frequently runs old deck tournaments.
I about to read what he wrote?
Yes. You're going to read Mu World Order. This is Rob's first ever time.
Okay.
Learning about Mu World Order. It's one of my favorite stories. It's about a man, Kyle Pukasukovich.
Mm-hmm.
You might know him as one of the premier commentators.
Yeah, I've heard. I know the name. Three Did you say his name Sukovic or Susovic?
Sukovic.
Sukovic, okay.
Yes, he's a three-time national champion, commentator. Okay. He works in R&D
okay.
at Pokemon.
Is he the one that AJ's always citing? Like
he tweets a lot, so like...
No, when, like before pre-releases, he's like, yeah, they got
yes,
this guy to go
yes,
work for Pokemon.
Puka is the... Okay. Allegedly, he built the Bill and Battle decks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where he said, oh, that's when AJ does his spiel.
Right, that's what I mean, yeah.
Yes,
he's always like,
that
yeah,
guy.
Kyle
yes.
Pukasukovic.
Yes.
What is Puka about?
Do Puka is his scream name. Puka Abelli 311.
Is that a reference to something?
I'm not sure. But okay. That's his screen name on Pokemon TCGO. He's
okay.
a runner. He owns Top Cut, the Top Cut.
Okay.
Not Top Cut Events. That's the like the, with the green trophy.
Oh, that's what I was thinking.
That's the Chicago company. Okay. There used to be a team, one of the early teams.
Yeah.
It was him, Puka, Crims. Do you know who Crims?
No.
Jose Rojano.
Nope.
Crims is a commentator.
Okay.
You might have seen him. He's kind of a bigger dude.
Yeah.
Drew Holton, who was out of the game. He's from Columbus. And then Michael Pramwat.
Okay, Pram was on it. Okay.
Pram, yes. That was essentially Top Cut. They used to make premium articles. They would track results. They were like one of the early trackers of results.
Okay.
This like predates like Charizard Lounge and Limitless.
Right.
And then Puka kind of left the game around 2015.
Okay.
2016 is like when he kind of left.
Yeah.
And then he went to go work for Pokemon. That's when he got hired. I think 2015 was like his last official year.
Yeah.
He played a little bit, and that's when Pokemon started taking the streams a little bit more serious. And,
right. And so who wrote this story?
Jonathan Perinata.
Jonathan Perinata. Shout out to him.
Yes. Okay.
Jonathan, I've never read your story. I've never heard of it. And what's the name of this one more time?
This is called Mu World
Mu
Order.
Mu World Order. Okay.
M-W-O.
Circa 2016?
2016 is when he wrote this story, about April. So we're coming up like on almost the fourth year. I went back and I found this deck in my TCGO saved list.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, this is like a perfect episode that we can talk about. Because I don't think it's far enough back that I don't think new players know about it. And then a lot of players have forgotten about this story. So Robert's going to read Mu World Order, written by Jonathan Perinata.
It's late. Kyle Pukasukovic is returning home after a long day at the Pokemon headquarters in Bellevue, Washington. As Kyle walks out of the busier parts of the city to take his bus back home, there's a lot on his mind. The TCG standard format is the worst it's ever been in a long time. Vespiquen Vileplume players draw their entire deck with a Turbo Shaman engine, taking 5 minutes to set up on turn one in the hopes of assembling a combo that will determine the outcome of the entire game. Trevenant players set up item lock with startling ease thanks to Wally and turn one Ascension. Puzzle of Time enables Night March to recover any lost resources at will. Non-interactivity is at an all-time high.
Yes, most of those cards are banned now.
Yeah, those
Puzzle
cards are all
time.
Banned. Puzzle
Wally,
Time. Yeah.
Force of Giant Plants.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of those cards are banned. And this is like...
Those cards... It's crazy to think those cards were all legal at the same time.
They were all legal at the same time about 2016, yes.
Okay. As Kyle turns the corner of Bellevue Way and 8th, he is startled out of his reverie by a cloaked and hooded figure who blocks his path. The figure drops its hood to reveal an inhuman form, a green reptilian creature with piercing eyes and pointed, loathsome fangs. Far from being surprised, Puka scowls and shakes his head in disgust. Clearly, this is not his first encounter with their kind. "What are you doing in Bellevue?" Kyle asks. "As you know, the lizard people have been taking over R&D in Japan, and we've been slowly bending the format to our awful will. But breaking standard was only the first phase of our master plan. Now that players have begun to accept a degenerate game, we are finishing preparations to ruin the Pokemon TCG once and for all." The lizard throws its head back and laughs, a shrill reptilian laugh. Puka looks concerned but fierce. "How could things get any worse, and why are you telling me this?" "My friend, victory over humanity will be sweetest if we offer you the slightest glimmer of hope before snatching it away. Thus, we, the kind and benevolent lizard people, offer you this one and only chance to save Pokemon. If you defeat me in a Pokemon TCG challenge of our devising, we will return control of the game back to your kind and leave the planet peacefully. But if you lose, we stay, and the game you love will be ruined. Forever." Puka does not hesitate. "I accept your challenge to begin immediately. Where are we throwing down?" The creature pauses for a thoughtful moment. "How about Maggiano's Little Italy? They have authentic family-style Italian dishes for a reasonable price. I know the owner. We should be able to play there for as long as we like." Puka nods uneasily. That was not the venue that he personally would have picked as a first choice. We have a section break there.
Yeah, we have an act two. Puka is upset that all of the degenerate band cards are all legal in the standard format altogether in 2016.
And we have lizard people.
This and the lizard people are behind the degeneracy. Right. So now we are going to...
Throw down.
We're going to throw down.
At Maggiano's.
At an Italian restaurant.
Okay. The pair arrive at Maggiano's to find a table waiting for them, complete with decks, damage counters, red Finnegan coin, and breadsticks. They take their seats as the creature explains the terms of the challenge to Kyle. "We will play a best of 1001 series in the very format that we plan to impose on humanity. It is a 60-card mirror, thus a true test of skill with petty nuances like bad matchups and tech cards removed entirely." The lizard extracts a shabby piece of paper from the folds of his robes and presents it to Kyle. "Behold, our finest creation!" Kyle reads the paper once and then again. He closes his eyes and sits in the calm silence for a few moments. When at last he opens them, they are no longer the eyes of an employee of the Pokemon Company International. They are the eyes of a state champion, a regional champion, a national champion, our world's champion. Kyle balances the Finnegan coin on his fingertips and asks the lizard man, "Heads or tails?"
All right.
Are we going to Act 3 here?
We're moving into Act 3.
Okay.
All the prep work has been laid.
It's really
heating. We have our shiny red Fennekin coin, which you probably don't understand the significance of.
I don't know.
It was a notorious coin that was believed to have flipped heads more than tails.
Okay.
There were certain coins that people have theoried that were better than others. Red Fennekin coin was one.
It was a heads coin.
I believe Metagross was another one, from the Mega Metagross box. Notorious coins that were questionable.
All right.
So that's the reference of the Red Fennec coin. I totally forgot about that. So Act 3, we're getting into the battle of the 1001 mirror match.
Sure. Sometime later, Dylan Exobyte Mayo receives a mysterious text message from Kyle. "At Maggiano's, please come pick me up. Maybe call an ambulance." Dylan arrives at the restaurant to find Kyle alone at the table, barely hanging on to consciousness. His fingers are bloody from constant shuffling, and his hair is fraying at the ends. The remnants of a hard-fought battle are strewn across the table, along with an unfolded sheet of paper. Puka looks at Exobyte with red but hopeful eyes. "I did it, Dylan. The lizard people are gone. I beat them. 501 games to 377. We can start to fix the format. When they asked what happened to me, tell them what I did." Kyle hands Dylan the paper and slumps over in his seat, finally bested by exhaustion. He had been playing Pokemon for 12 days straight. As paramedics rush in to put Kyle on a stretcher, Dylan looks on with uncertainty. Was the format truly safe? Were the lizard people really gone? He tries to piece together what might have happened. The only clue is on the paper he now holds, a single deck list written in a delicate hand. New World Order. Should I just read the deck list here?
So we have a deck list, Mew Ward Order. It's a quite an interesting deck list. You probably should read the Pokemon and then scroll down to the energies and then go through the trainers.
Okay. Mew World Order. 4 Mew EX.
From Legendary Treasures.
That's Darker. The one that copies...
Yes, Versatile. So you can copy EX ability... Or is it EX's? No, it's you can copy any Pokemon's attacks granted you have the energy costs.
Yes.
Yes. So you have 4 of those.
2 Rayquaza EX from Roaring Skies.
That one has a colorless attack that does 10 plus 50 if the opponent's Pokemon is an EX.
Okay. 2 Jirachi EX. That's the old Tapu Lele effect.
Correct. It's Jirachi from Plasma Blast lets you search for a supporter.
1 Shaymin EX and 1 Hoopa EX. The Hoopa is the one that allows you to go get 3 EX Pokemon, right?
Correct. And Shaymin from Roaring Skies
lets
you draw until your hand is 6.
And now I'm going down to the energy here.
Yes. Can you read me the energy count at the bottom of the paper?
0.
0. This deck plays 0 energy. Okay.
All right.
Go to trainers. Read the trainers.
4 Please. Professor Juniper. 3 N. 3 Skyla. 3 AZ. 3 Zerosic. 2 Lysander. I don't know this card.
1 Elysia.
Elysia.
Yes.
What does that do?
Elysia is a card that lets you search for tools.
Okay.
It was a supporter from, I believe, Legendary Treasures. It was like in a Radiant collection.
Okay.
And she would let you search for like 2 or 3 tools. I think it's 3.
4 Verseeker, 4 Ultra Ball, 1 Pokemon Catcher, that's flip a coin.
Yes.
For a gust effect. 1 Super Scoop Up, 2 Battle Compressor, 1 Buddy Buddy Rescue, I know what that is.
Yes.
That's... I get a Pokemon out of my discard, you get a Pokemon out of your discard.
Yeah, both players get a Pokemon out of the discard.
1 Eco Arm gets tools back.
Yeah, shuffles in 3 tools.
1 Tool Scrapper, it's kind of like the old Field Blower.
It removes 2 tools, up to 2 tools from either side.
Basically. Okay. 1 Startling Megaphone is also a tool.
Removes all tools from your opponent.
2 Head Ringer, which...
So, if you don't remember Headringer was...
I do. I get that and Jamming Net confused. It was... increased the energy cost?
Yes. So, Headringer, for people who were unaware, is a card... It used to be a Team Flare card from Phantom Forces. You could attach it to Pokemon, your opponent's Pokemon EXs, and that would increase their attack cost by 1.
Okay, and Jamming Net is a similar... It's also a Headringer.
Correct.
I mean, it's also a...
So, you would play that, basically, you would play that from your hand... onto one of your opponent's Pokemon EXs, and that would reduce their damage by 20.
Okay. 2 Weakness Policy, 2 Float Stone, 1 Hard Charm. Is that...
Takes 20 less.
1 Lucky Helmet, 1 Fighting Fury Belt. I know what Lucky Helmet does. You draw when you get hit, right?
Yeah, when you get hit, you draw 2.
1 Fighting Fury Belt, 1 Life Dew, and 2 Dimension Valley.
All right. So
I
Rob,
don't understand how you win with this deck.
Okay, so...
Or how the mirror goes in this deck.
Okay, so I'm going to give like a really rough TLDR on how to play this. So the deck plays 0 energy.
I got that.
The goal of the deck is to take 6 prizes. It's not a milling deck, obviously. It's not a stall deck.
Okay.
So what you do is you use your Mew EXs, and you use the Rayquaza's attack that hits for 10 plus 50 if it's an EX.
Okay, so...
And you can do 60. That. You can do that for free
right.
with Dimension Valley.
Okay, and you one-shot
because
your opponent's Mew because it's doubling, right?
Correct, without any modifiers. But your deck plays an entire slew of tools that would change how that would work. You have Lucky Helmets, you have Head Ringers, you have Jamming Nets, you have the Weakness Policy.
Right.
And you try to play the mirror... It's an interesting mirror because you can... The thing is about Mew is that you can copy your opponent's attacks.
Right.
You can borrow their Dimension Valleys.
Right.
They're playing Scrapper and Ringers and Starling Megaphones, so it makes for an interesting mirror.
Okay.
And Jonathan is a genius for coming up with this deck.
Yeah, this the deck looks insane, especially if you're thinking about having to do a mirror match with it, where you have to decide what... So the decisions in the deck are like which...
It's mostly tools.
Which tools to put at what point.
Correct. Right?
So, like, when do I use my Scrapper? When do I use my Megaphone? When do I use my Eco Arm?
Zerosic, yeah.
You can't attack with anything else because it's just that attack.
Correct. You can't... The only thing that can attack is Mew EX when there's a Dimension Valley down and there's a Rayquaza, at least one Rayquaza in play.
Gotcha. So this really is, in some ways, the ultimate test of skill.
Yes, it's definitely
playing a mirror.
I think it's a very skillful mirror because you have to decide what tools go where and when.
Right.
You have a slew of supporters that can aid you. Oh, you also have
AZ.
You have AZ. You have Zero. Like, Zerosic's also very important.
Right. What is Zerosic? It gets rid of...
Special energies and tools. They just go to the discard pile. It's similar to Faba.
Okay.
So it just basically comes down to, can you manage your tools well? And can you skillfully outplay your opponent with the amount limited amount of gust? Basically.
And once a Dimension Valley is down, it's...
It's pretty much down permanently. I don't think there's anything in the deck that removes the Dimension Valley. There's two copies, so that at least with four copies between the two of you, that you would get it, you get it at least down.
Have you played this deck?
I've played it a little bit, yeah. I've played it.
Now, is it a decent deck at the time of the meta, or is it a bad deck?
Oh, this deck is absolutely terrible.
Okay, I guess it only makes sense for the mirror.
You only play in mirror. You cannot... Okay. This deck was... awful at the time this story was written. Awful. Especially with all the degenerate stuff.
Right.
Trying to go up against Vileplume.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You wouldn't be able to play
Vileplume, Night March, Trevenant.
Tools. Yeah.
None of those decks even play EXs. Some of them, they play Shaman.
Right.
But you can't even... like.
Right.
You could swing into a Shaman for 60. It was built only for Mirror.
Gotcha. It's kind of genius in that regard.
It is an interesting deck. And it's actually... it is relatively cheap to build. The only expensive card in the deck is Mew. Mew, yeah, at the time of the recording was only, I think, $6. And you'll have to buy four of them. So it's only $24. And most all the rest of the cards average about a quarter to about 50 cents.
Yeah, that's not...
So you can build this fun deck for probably close to $50.
Oh, yeah.
And even that, you can just... I think a lot of these cards came in World Championship decks, so I think Mew was probably in a couple of World Championship decks.
A lot of them are
decks.
Really common. Four Verseeker, four Archibald, three N,
I bought Ends today for 25 cents, and that was kind of
high. Oh, yeah, Ends super cheap these days. Yeah, two Lysander. They're super... if you play Expanded Format, these are not hard cards.
Rayquaza is like a dollar EX. He's in bulk now.
You could play with Jirachis or really Tapu Lele's if you wanted to. It wouldn't really make a difference, I don't think.
Yeah, technically, but you would probably still play Jirachi because you could actually kill the Jirachi, theoretically, in two shots.
Yeah, you'd have to, like... You could never kill the... because it's only EX that it does the damage.
I think you can kill it in three, because it has a minus 20 resistance because it's psychic resistant. It's steel type.
Right.
So you would swing into it for...
how much HP does Jirachi have?
90. So, and there's no plus... oh, I'm looking at the tool list right now, and there's no modifiers that buff the damage.
Right, it's only preventing
damage. So you'd have to... you could theoretically three-shot a Jirachi.
Yeah, but a game of this would take very long.
You could two-shot Shaman. You could two-shot the Hoopa as well, which is kind of neat.
Yeah.
So I would advise playing Jirachi, probably not play. And also, the other thing is that Tapu Lele, you cannot stick... Headringers and Jemmy Nuts on Tapu Lele. You can stick them on Jirachi.
Oh, right.
Which matters in, like, some scenarios when you're trying to draw a Shaman.
What's Jirachi's attack? Is it relevant?
Irrelevant.
Irrelevant, okay.
It's, like, 30 or something. Or, no, it's Hypnoblast. It's, like, two steel energies, and it like puts both... it's super irrelevant.
It's bad. Yeah. Yep. So it's truly only the Rayquaza EX.
Correct. The Rayquaza is the only attack you can use. You can't even use Mew's attack, which is... you can go looking for a Pokemon. It's a psychic.
Right.
So you can't even use that. So you are restricted only to Rayquaza's attack. It's, I think it's Intensifying Burn is the name of the attack.
And you have a ton of setup, so it's not like somebody will get donked here. So it really should be a pretty high test of skill.
Yes, there's plenty of consistency cards. And if you open an Ultra Ball, you shouldn't get donked. Because you just grab... you grab and you didn't press Hoopa.
Right.
Granted, you don't price Hoopa and you open an Ultra Ball.
Even if you did, unless you price Hoopa and Shaman, you could at least get Shaman to try to get something else.
You can get a Jirachi.
Or a Jirachi, yeah.
Yeah. There's only a very...
Jirachi for Juniper, yeah.
Yeah. There's a very, very small chance that you don't get out of the opening hand.
Right.
See, it's brilliant. This deck has thought of everything.
I love it.
This deck is very, very cool. Very cool deck.
The scoop-ups and all that stuff are nuts. The scoop-ups and AZs.
I think the scoop-up is very, very cool because... when your opponent headringers you or jamming nets you, you can scoop them up. Because the deck plays two ringers and three nets. That's five total cards that your opponent can put on your Mew.
Right, and they just can't attack if they have those on them.
I mean, you could, but you're not going to KO their Mew. With jamming net, you could actually swing.
Oh, jamming net, you can't.
With Henry, you can't swing. You're done.
So you really have to manage your tools super.
Yeah, and
smart.
With Scrapper, you have a single Scrapper and a single Megaphone, so you got to make those count as well.
You also have Life Dew, which is...
Yes, Life Dew makes the game go ever so slightly longer, requiring all four knockouts.
Imagine if you put, like, a fishing rod in this deck. So you could get your Life Dew or get your, like...
Oh, the new fishing rod? Yeah. Lana's rod? Lana's. Yeah. That would be interesting.
A fishing rod. It would make it longer.
There is another version of this deck out there. I don't have the list. It was created by... I know who created it. It was a guy named Simon Narode. He got second at Worlds 2013.
Okay.
I think he's topped some other Worlds. He's a pretty good player. I don't think he's active very much at all. He's from the West Coast.
Yeah.
He had a new world order, and it was much, much, much more complex. There was a ton of one-ofs. There is just a slew of one-ofs. It came out shortly after this. If you want to go looking for it, just look, Mew World Order, Simon Narode. I think you can probably find it. I don't have the list. I didn't look that hard. You might be able to find it. I don't know.
Gotcha.
But that one is a pretty intense one as well. That one's actually even more grindy than this one.
All right. Well.
What do you think of Mew World Order?
I think the deck is brilliant. The story holds up. And I'm just hoping we get a shout out from Puka for this.
That would be nice.
The odds are pretty low.
All right, Robert, will you plug our stuff for the people, please?
Thank you for listening to the Heat Factory podcast. You can find our podcast on Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Apple Pods, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Hit us up on Twitter at Heat Factory Pod and Facebook at The Heat Factory. And thanks to Marzi and Machine Learner for the intro music. You can find their music at soundcloud.com/marzipan-kitten. Other music in this episode by Kevin McLeod. We used his songs Unpromised, and the one you're hearing right now is called Rhinoceros.